So many of you who I know, but many of you I don't know, but I'm so glad you're all here. It's wonderful. I'll just say this, I am a good Swede. My grandpa was born in Sweden. I know this kind of is a Swedish heritage church. So, but this church is a great testimony to God, continuing on for well over 100 years, and the testimony of the gospel and preaching of the word. So keep it up. That's the one thing I would say to all those who are here in the Brooklyn church. Well, when Mr. Jensen Reed called me about a month ago and asked if I'd be willing to come here on the Sunday after Labor Day, I said that I would. I know that sometimes it's hard to fill the pulpit at different places, and immediately, I'd been reading in my daily Bible reading. I don't make it every day, but I think I make it almost every day. Been reading in the book of Mark, and I was drawn to preach on this topic because I just want to tell you, this is what was read, the first 12 verses of Mark chapter 2. It's probably one of my favorite Bible stories, just one of the stories that I learned when I was a young person growing up in church. I do want to emphasize too, though, especially for boys and girls and everybody here, when we say Bible stories, a lot of times people think, well, it's just kind of a story, it's just kind of made up. No, this stuff, what was read today, the incident that was read today, described in the first 12 verses of Mark 2, this actually happened. This actually happened. A lot of times I think we kind of conflate, we kind of bring together maybe Star Wars stories of modern times and Batman and some of these things you see on TV, and that didn't really happen. But this stuff actually happened. When the Bible talks about Jesus walking on the water, it actually happened. Okay, it actually happened. This is absolutely true. These descriptions here are true, and you can bet your life on it. These are true things. So please, boys and girls in particular, young people, young and old, I'm getting old myself now, always remember, these things are true. You can stake your life on it. Before we go any further, let's just bow in prayer just a little bit, and then we'll dive into this message today. Lord, I want to thank you for each of the people who are here today. We thank you for the opportunity to speak here, to look into your word. We thank you for the beautiful day you gave us yesterday in particular, and the rain that came on Friday that hopefully helped some of the crops. And we just want to thank you again for the opportunity and for your word and things we can learn from it. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Now, the incident that we have, we're going to look at, this is called, the healing of the paralytic. We're going to try to get four different points out of this message this morning. It's actually recorded for us in all three of the Gospels. It's actually recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The one that we're going to talk about it today from the book of Mark, because this is the most extensive description of the incident. The others are a little more brief. You can read about it if you want to in Matthew 9 verses 1 to 8, and also in Luke chapter 5 verses 17 to 26. So there's three accounts, but we're going to look at it from the book of Mark. It tells actually a remarkable story, and I think it is important that we sort of set the context of this where this incident took place, of the healing of this paralyzed man. This incident took place right on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Verse 1 of Mark chapter 2 says that Jesus had come to the city of Capernaum. Okay, Capernaum, if you kind of think back, and if you're familiar with the geography of the Holy Land, Sea of Galilee is up there towards the north, and then there's this river, the Jordan River, flows down to the south, and it flows into the Dead Sea, and about 15 miles west of that is Jerusalem. Okay, so this incident takes place in the city of Capernaum, which was a city right on the Sea of Galilee. This is the place, of course, where four of the most prominent apostles, disciples of Jesus came from. Peter and Andrew, they were from the area of Capernaum, along with James and John. Four of them came right there. And of course, their jobs, they were fishermen. This is how a lot of people made their living in this area, around this area. This is a farming area. And so lots of people make their living here through the farming economy. Right on the Sea of Galilee, this is where people, this is how people made their living. They were fishermen in this area. That's why Jesus, when he called the disciples, called those gentlemen, he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Okay, that's something they could relate to. Now, this incident also took place kind of early in his public ministry. Jesus had already performed some miracles. You can read in chapter 1 of the book of Mark, he'd cast out some demons, he'd healed some others. John chapter 2 talks about how Jesus had changed the water into wine. And so this wasn't the very first miracle that Jesus had performed. As it says in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. And many were gathered together, in verse 2, so that there was no longer room even near the door. He was speaking the word to them. And it describes in chapter 1 some previous miracles that Jesus had performed. His fame was spreading through the land. And but this is a very interesting passage, I believe, in the Bible. Now, we're going to look at four different points today. And the first of them we're going to talk about briefly is the faith of the four. The second one is the surprising statement of Jesus. First, the faith of the four. Second is the surprising statement of Jesus. Number three is the reaction of the people who heard Jesus make this very surprising statement. And then lastly, we're going to talk about the miracle of healing that Jesus performed on this particular individual. So let's look first today at the faith of the four men. The Bible says for us in verse number 3 of chapter 2, and when they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And then verse 4 says, and being unable to get to him on account of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. So here you have Jesus. He's at this house, and he's talking. The Bible says he's presenting the word to them. He's preaching. He's talking to them. He's challenging the Jewish people who are living there. And by the way, the Galilee area, that was kind of known as the backwater region of the Holy Land. It wasn't the place where all kinds of teachers and preachers of the Jews were staying. It was a little bit more of a backwater area. But the fame of Jesus had gone out. Lots of people were coming. And there were four men who wanted to help a friend of theirs. Now, we don't know anything about these four people. But the Bible specifically says there were four of these individuals. And they have heard of Jesus. They've heard of these miracles. And they are determined to get this man before Christ, okay, before Jesus. They want Jesus to be able to see this individual and hopefully have some compassion on him. And by the way, these guys are really determined. It's a standing room only crowd, folks. It's standing room only. Nobody can get in. They've got it's probably like a stretcher, okay? You got one guy on each end of the stretcher or the pallet there, and they're carrying this man who's paralyzed. We don't know exactly the details of his medical condition, but they want to help their friend. Perhaps it's a relative. We don't know. But they want to help their friend, and they're determined. And when they can't get to Jesus in a normal way, they take some radical steps here. All of a sudden, you know, they get up on the roof. And all of a sudden, what do? They start tearing off the shingles or start tearing off the mud or the plaster, whatever they have to do. They know that Jesus is below them. It'd be like somebody up there in the balcony. They wanted to put a body or this pallet through the roof because of a great need there. So they're going to start a demolition project up there in the balcony so that somebody can come through. And it must have been pretty amazing to Jesus and the crowds. All of a sudden, Jesus is talking to these people, and he's explaining things to them. And all of a sudden, dust starts coming down, and a little opening all of a sudden appears. And you look up, and there's a couple faces. And I'm sure people are saying, what's going on here? What's taking place? I mean, We didn't expect somebody to start a building project or a demolition project in the middle of Jesus who's presenting himself to the crowds are there. But these people were very determined. These four men who were carrying this man, the fifth individual who was paralyzed, they had a very strong faith. And that's the point I want to emphasize to you this morning. These people, they were determined. They weren't just going to sit back and say, no, we can't make this work. Okay? I'm sure they must have been frustrated. I don't think this was their first option. They saw the crowds, and they said, no, we can't get through. Every once in a while, I've been in some big crowds before, and it's not, you're just kind of bunched in, and that's the way it is. There's not much you can do. Well, these guys, they came with this stretcher, this pallet with this man who's obviously got a severe medical condition. They can't deal with it in normal ways, so they get up on the roof, and they're going to get this man before Jesus. So I want to challenge you today and challenge myself today. These people had very strong faith. They were willing to take any steps necessary to get this person before Jesus because they believed that Jesus could deal with their situation, the situation of their friend, which was this, he was a paralytic. He was paralyzed. We didn't have wheelchairs in those days. We didn't have any of those situations. Their only solution to this problem was to have Jesus heal. So first, let's remember in this passage, remember the faith of those four. Faith of the four. Secondly, I'd like us to talk about think a little bit about the surprising statement of Jesus. The surprising statement of Jesus. You know, there's little bits of wood and plaster and all of a sudden coming down right there in front of Jesus. I don't think this thing was done in a very clean way, in a hygienic way. All of a sudden, this stuff just starts falling down. And then this man is lowered down. Now, what was the need of this person was a physical healing. But what does Jesus say? What's Jesus say? Let's look in your Bibles. If you look in verse number 5, and it says, and Jesus seeing their faith, okay, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now that seems to me, as you study this passage, that seems to me a little odd. Did this person, was this individual looking for salvation at this particular time? You think that was the biggest thing that was on this guy's mind in the mind of the four people there? I don't think so. He obviously needed to be saved like each and every one of us needs to be saved. But the big thing that he wanted to be healed. And what does Jesus do? Jesus says, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, he had a reason for that. He knew that there were Jewish elders and people there who didn't believe in him who were going to be challenged by that statement. But it's actually a very surprising statement of Jesus. Jesus had a purpose and a plan beyond what these individuals did. But it was a surprising statement of Jesus. You know, and Jesus doesn't bring this type of a statement to the four in each time he meets someone. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, stay in the same book of the Bible. If you turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 46, we have another incident of where Jesus heals a person. This time it's the story of blind Bartimaeus. If you look in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, just to show you the contrast here, how Jesus heals deals with situations, I'll read here just a little bit. Mark 10, 46 says, they came to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped, verse 48, and many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he began crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. And they called, verse 49, and they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, arise, he is calling for you. And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, interestingly, what do you want me to do for you? Kind of an obvious answer, an obvious question there. What do you want me to do? Did he ask that of the paralyzed man back there in Mark 2? Didn't ask him that at all. I'm sure he knew what the one man wanted, but Jesus is going to handle some of these situations in different ways. Here, when he's talking to Bartimaeus, he asks him almost that rhetorical question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight, began following him on the road. So, in Mark chapter 2, Jesus, the man comes down right through the roof, and Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Here in Mark chapter 10, when Bartimaeus wants to get his sight, Jesus asks him that specific question. What do you want me to do for you? I want to receive my sight. So the statement of Jesus is somewhat, the second thing I'd like to emphasize today, the statement is somewhat surprising, but it does have a purpose. And the purpose is that he wants to challenge those individuals who are in the crowd, sitting there, skeptical of who Jesus is, just checking out, evaluating what this guy is all about. And that takes us back to Mark chapter 2, verse number 6. Again, let's read verse 5. Jesus says, "Seeing their face, said to the paralytic, 'My son, your sins are forgiven.' But there were some of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" Okay? So, we have faith of these four individuals. We have Jesus' surprising statement. And now we're going to evaluate the reaction of the people. The Jewish leaders who are here, they've come all the way from Jerusalem up to Capernaum, this little fishing town right on the side of the, right on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. They're saying in their hearts, and Jesus knows what's in their hearts, he's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Okay? Can only God forgive sins? Absolutely. Only Jesus can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. And so they're thinking, man, this guy's, we can't handle this guy. We don't want him around. But then in verse 8, it says, "Immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, 'Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Why are you reasoning about this?' And then he asks a very interesting question. Verse 9, "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise and take up your pallet and walk?'" Now, Jesus, at this point in time, as he sees the individuals who are, you might say, questioning him in their hearts, in their minds, he can figure that. He knows what's going on. He knows each one of our thoughts all the time, 24/7. He knows what we're thinking. Jesus then publicly puts a question to the people who are sitting there. Now, it's probably not everybody. There's probably just a lot of common, ordinary, average folks there who crowded in to see Jesus. But there are a number of people, Jewish leaders and elders, who've come from Jerusalem, and they've come to evaluate Jesus. In fact, it's mentioned in some of the other accounts in both the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. And Jesus puts a question to him. And I'll put that question to you today. What's it easier to say, "Son, your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Take up your pallet and walk"? I'm not going to ask you to verbally answer that, but you think about that. Which one is easier to say? I think the Bible clearly indicates it's much easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven you." Okay? Because If you take the other alternative, take up your pallet and walk, what has to take place? There has to be a result that takes place. I mean, anyone could, I could have walked in here today, come up here and said, "Your sins are forgiven you." Okay? I could say that. It's a non-verifiable statement. There's no way you can verify that. No one can verify that. But if there was a paralyzed man in front of any one of us today, and you said, "Take up your pallet and walk," what has to take place? There has to be a miracle take place. There has to be an act of healing take place. There has to be a verifiable event take place right in front of you that your eyes can see, that you can observe, so that you can know that what is actually taking place is real. It's genuine. This is Jesus' way of putting them on, you might say, the horns of a dilemma here. Again, verse 9 says, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your pallet and walk? And then he continues on, verse 10. We're getting down here to the last portion here. But in order that you may know that the Son of Man, that's himself, has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your pallet, and go home. Okay? So, Jesus, initially he says, son, your sins are forgiven you. Okay? That's what he says initially. And what does that cause within the crowd? It causes a lot of people, well, what's that all about? This guy, no one can forgive sins but God alone. But it's non-verifiable, at least at that time, right in front of the noses of the people. But then Jesus says, I'm going to show you my power, my authority, that I do have power and authority to forgive sins. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to heal this man right in front of you. And he says to him, arise, take up your pallet, and walk. Okay? I don't know of anyone who goes to a hospital or to some, rehabilitation center and does that. Okay? Well, what's the result of that in verse 12? And he rose and immediately took up the pallet and went out in the sight of all, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. So, the proof of who Jesus was came about because of the miracle. Jesus did not perform miracles just for the benefit of himself. He performed these miracles so that people would believe who he was. And that's still a huge question today in the world. Who's Jesus? Who is he? Is he some great teacher, some moral teacher? Is he some, miracle worker? Or is he actually the Son of God who came into this world to save each one of us by dying on the cross and providing a pathway so that anyone who believes, can receive eternal life? So today, as you think about this passage, I'd ask you to think about just, I think, the four lessons I gleaned from these that I wanted to share with you today. First of all, think of the faith of the four people. They had a strong faith. They were willing to go to extreme measures to get their friend to Jesus. Secondly, think about that surprising statement of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven you. But he had a purpose for saying that. Thirdly, think about the reaction of the crowd. A lot of people, I got doubts about this guy. But then finally, the last point I want to emphasize is the miracle of healing. What did the miracle of healing, what did it present right before the eyes of those people who were doubting? They could see that something dramatic had happened right in front of them. And probably a number of them did believe. It appears in verse 12, it says, and he arose and immediately took up the pallet, went out in the sight of all. So they were all amazed, were glorifying God, saying, we've never seen anything like this before. Never seen anything like this before. I think that's the key thing that we want to keep in our minds today. Let's try to learn from each of these things. And please keep in mind that Jesus, through his miracle here, identified himself as the true Son of God. So all kinds of people make different claims about that. But you can put your faith, your trust, your hope for eternity in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pause for prayer now. Lord God, thank you so much for just being able to read in your word and to gain some insights from it. Lord, we thank you for this incident, this story that took place approximately 2,000 years ago. We thank you for who you are, for being the Son of God who can forgive sins and can bring healing if you so choose. We know that you will bring eternal healing to each one of us as we look to spend eternity with you. I want to thank you for each person here, and I just pray that you would just bless us as we go our way after this service. In Christ Jesus' precious name, amen.